Welcome to our latest installment of Beyond Distribution with GTDC. Today's guest is Alessandro Catani, CEO of Esprinet, a leading distributor based in Italy. Alessandro also serves as one of our executive committee members. In this episode, Alessandro talks with Frank about his thoughts on what the key drivers for the year will be, including corporate and government sectors, AI-induced refresh cycles, and sustainability initiatives. What economic and compliance factors could affect the EU channel? How will new sustainability initiatives affect distributors, vendors, and providers? We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to visit the GTDC Knowledge Hub for access to all episodes of the podcast and other valued industry resources. Our Knowledge Hub can be found at www.gtdc.org. And don't forget to register for our upcoming EMEA Vendor Summit, which will be held in early June in Nordwijk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next recording of our Beyond Distribution. Today, I am thrilled to have with us Alessandro Catani, the Chief Executive Officer for Esprinet. In addition, Alessandro has been a longtime member of the GTDC and is also, in addition to being on the board of directors, is on our executive committee. So he helps, drive our agenda. So, Alessandro, great having you today.
Thanks, Frank, and thanks, everybody, for having me here.
Yeah, good. So we usually like to start, Alessandro, with just talk a little bit about, your sort of career into, technology, maybe a little bit about Esprinet so that, our viewers can get a good sense of you and your company.
Well, I'll keep it very short. I'm an engineer. I'm out of Milan in Italy. I began dealing with IT back when I was in high school. And so in 1981, I got fascinated by the first calculators, and from there on, I moved into electronic engineering. I studied it, and then I worked on that. And well, to make a long story short, mid-90s, I was a consultant, and I met the companies that are now Esprinet. They were at the time three separate legal entities, all out of northern Italy. And I consulted these three companies, and I convinced the owner to merge the companies into a single entity. I was offered the privilege to run this integration process, which was eventually done by September 2000, when Esprinet was born. And I was appointed the CEO in November 2000. So this year will be roughly 24 years as a CEO. And from there on, we brought the company public in 2001. We were at the time the second largest IT distributor in Italy, mostly PC and printers. And then we became number one in Italy. Then we moved into Spain in 2005. We grew up, we entered the data center space, the solution space with the brand V-Valley that you see up here back in 2011. And now it accounts for 40% of our profitability. And now here we are. We are the largest player in Southern Europe, Italy, Spain, Portugal. We do have a tiny presence through an acquisition that we made in Spain, in Morocco, serving software and cloud in French-speaking Africa, and that's it basically.
That's great. That's a great story. And I absolutely want to talk a little bit about V-Valley later on, because I know you've had some acquisitions and there's some things that you're clearly doing there. Before we do that though, a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast or, from North America. We also have some viewers in Europe, but it would be good to get your perspective on doing business in Europe, and what's happening, because the last couple of years have obviously been very tumultuous, right? Very, very difficult. And you're living it. So talk a little bit about that and what the environment is like now in Europe.
Well, first, I think for our American colleagues and Far East ones as well. That's an interesting point to stress, in my view. Lots of people out of Europe still think of Europe as a really separate, completely separate countries. Yes, they are, of course. But you probably have not got the level of integration that we achieved in these last years. A lot of the laws that we have in each given country are basically laws that are translating the EU directive, a EU directive decided in Brussels, into local legislation. So if you move across the states, you will find the same laws, although with different names and some local nuances of privacy or data protection, whatever, even the way we write our financial statements. So governance, the way we do business, the general laws are pretty much homogeneous across Europe. We have the same currency, and therefore it's really more an homogeneous entity. Of course, we have different languages and different cultures, and therefore and different local budgets from governments, and so that drives differences also in the dynamics, especially in consumer spending. But in generally speaking, in corporate budgets as well. So now coming to what happened recently, as you know, we are really in a time of big changes. The war engaged by Russia against Ukraine not only wreaked havoc in that region, but unfortunately for them, but it really changed a really strategic paradigm for all of Europe. It's the end of cheap gas. It's the end of easy doing business with rich Russians. Lots of money is already being spent and will be spent in defense. So there's a lot of changes. That drew inflation, and with inflation grew growth of the interest rates. So big changes in consumer demand, slowdown in spending by corporate. Now things are getting more stable, but definitely 2023 has been a tough year, especially on consumer spending. Because on the other side, for the first time ever, the EU issued a sort of a federal budget of roughly 800 billion, which is material, which is called Next Gen EU, and lots of those monies are actually spent on IT. So lots of opportunities there, but definitely consumer spending last year has been tough.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting with the EU, and you and I've talked about this before, particularly in the area of sustainability. There's lots of regulations that you have to get comfortable dealing with, but at the same time, there's also some positive things that the EU is driving, like the next gen spending initiatives that have kind of been in place for a while. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. But unfortunately, the environment with the wars, particularly, is certainly in Russia and Ukraine, and now in the Middle East, it really is just horrible to have to deal in that environment. You mentioned 2023 as a tough year, and obviously it was. At our recent North America GTDC summit event, we had a number of economists talk, and we had also IDC talk about what they thought, you know, was going to happen in 2024. How do you feel about 2024, and what's your sense, you know, as you're sitting here now in, you know, first quarter?
Well, we are much more positive about what we're seeing for 2024 for the market as a whole than what we were last year. Consumer spending is still far from being hot, but it's no longer frozen as well. So things are moving in that area. Corporate spending, especially in solutions with specific pockets of growth in cybersecurity and software, has never been really soft at all. There's been phenomenal growth. Governments kept on spending and they sort of enabled opportunities of growth for those that were particularly focused on that market area. And those things will move on furthermore this year. So we see PCs, for instance, getting back on track, mostly fueled by this new round of innovation on AI chips mounted on PCs. As I said, consumer spending, although still soft, is getting better. And it's forecasted to be better as well. And if we talk to both resellers as well as retailers, the mood is brighter now. We all speak of inflation now close to 2%. We are debating on when rather than if the interest rates will go down. So that is a completely different scenario. And we all hope that these two wars will come to an end. And that could be another major trigger for pushing back everything on accelerated growth.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the PC or the endpoint device market a little bit. And I know you play heavily in that. It seems to me there's a couple of factors. Certainly AI is a factor, and I want your opinion on sort of that from a historical perspective, right? But I also think there, what I'm hearing is there's other things like, you know, a normal Microsoft refresh cycle, you know, we're coming up with that. Plus it seems that a lot of companies probably delayed investment maybe last year. And so there could be some pent up demand. So we've seen some data and, you know, of course, we all look very much at the context and GfK information that indicates the second half could be pretty positive. But the thing that strikes me, and you and I have both been in this business a long time, is with the advent of some of the innovations, AI in particular, it seems like it feels different to me. It feels like this is really a really significant turning point in, you know, what we're dealing with. Are you sensing that also? Are you feeling that?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of comments on this. The first one is we really thought at the onset of this Gen AI era that it would have been basically all about the big US software companies and perhaps the large hyperscalers, all AI calculations made in those data centers. What we really are realizing is that lots of this compute power will be pushed to the edge into PCs, into local servers, into appliances, into smartphones. And that will turn into an opportunity for the channel that is dealing with the clients, generally speaking. So, and we are still, we still have 60% of our profitability out of clients. So for us, it's good news, and for a lot of other distributors and resellers and retailers as well. So that's the first comment. And yes, we see a lot of talks, a lot of discussions going forward. The other interesting point, I think, is for many years, the refresh cycle, especially of the PCs, was mostly driven by Microsoft in the sense that the new Windows release was typically requiring companies to change their PCs. Otherwise, the performance would have been bad. Not good enough. Now, that has not been truly the case in these last years. Microsoft made an amazing job in improving the quality of their operating systems without requiring an enormous amount of additional compute power. But with AI, the game changes game. And you simply can't have a good AI performance without having lift-up PCs or smartphones or whatever else. And that is where the difference comes and where we believe that there will be an acceleration on these changes at this refresh at the, let's say, client side. Then there's all the huge investments that will be made into data centers, be them the hyperscalers data centers, if you go in cloud, public cloud, or locally if you go for a hybrid or on-prem. And you will need specific pieces of hardware and software to enable your applications that partially will run on your clients. So it's an incredible good mix of opportunities out there. That's why we're all optimistic. And the numbers of NVIDIA, the latest report of Dell a few days ago, they all tell the same story. There's a lot of opportunity out there that we collectively as the channel must grab, and I think will grab.
Yeah, I think that was very well said. I think you covered a lot of it, and I think those are all the factors. The other thing that's really interesting is when you talk to the solution providers, you know, your customers, they're very bullish beyond just the hardware piece, right? They're very bullish about the services opportunities that all of this new technology is driving. And that typically, you know, you see that because end users are asking their solution providers, help me with, you know, with the implementation here. What do we, you know, what should we do? How do we secure it? You know, how do we implement it? That's nothing but positive for all of us. So I think that's really good. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was not talking about services. You're perfectly right, because as a distributor, we do act on services, but it's a minor portion of our business, although very profitable.
Yeah.
But for system integrators, it will be, wow. A tremendous, they have really green pastures in front of them.
They do. They do. And the ones that I've been talking to have been very positive, you know. So, so you mentioned earlier, and we saw this last year, we saw this huge difference in the performance of endpoint devices versus in, you know, the enterprise, right? And the enterprise stayed reasonably consistent, right? I think networking was pent up, had some pent up demand that eventually got fulfilled as the year went on. But you mentioned V-Valley and what you guys have done with V-Valley. And obviously, you had acquired Lidera Networks a while back as part of the V-Valley offering. So talk a little bit about that, because that, I think, has been a significant addition to your business and your business model, right?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned before, our group was born, say, in 2000 as a PC and printer distributor in Italy. Now we are a broadliner, PC printers and all of the consumer electronics range, again, in Southern Europe. But back in 2011, we opened up V-Valley as our division in charge of solutions. So data center products, and then cybersecurity, cloud, networking, and everything else. And at the time, it was 100 million euros, over 2 billion. Last year, we made roughly 4 billion total as a group, and V-Valley was more than a billion. So it's now 25% of our business. We multiplied by 10 the size of our solution business in 12 years. And we grew not only organically through acquisitions as well. What we did with Lidera in Spain and Bludis in Italy, other acquisitions, we're doing small bolt-on acquisitions of players that are leading niches of the data center business or cloud or networking or cybersecurity where we are not yet leader. So we are putting together these players. We offer them and their vendors a complete range, a total coverage of the market. We serve in Southern Europe, but more or less all system integrators and retailers alike, of course, but more than 30,000 partners. So we offer an opportunity to expand their reach across all of this geo with high quality compliance. We're a listed company, public company since 20 plus years. And that's why we're moving in this direction. And we keep companies sometimes separated because we want to have a focus, dedicated sales teams, and let the vendors perceive that they have their own team within Esprinet. And that's how the strategy unfolded last year, in these last years, and well, multiplied by 10. It's now 25% of our business in terms of revenues and 40% in terms of profitability. So yeah. Less and less we are a PC distributor, and more we are a pan-Euro value distributor.
Totally. And, you know, and that's a great example, because I've been saying for a while, the lines are clearly blurring, and there isn't, in my opinion, the term, you know, broad line versus value. They don't exist anymore because of exactly what you just described. And that's really important because of, and it's interesting the way you did it, because you built a base of, you know, the endpoint device business, and then added on the enterprise and which is a good way to do it, because you'd already built that foundation and the relationships with, you know, your key customers. And as they expanded their business, you guys were prepared to deliver it. So
it's always a matter of serving the needs of your customers. In that case, our customers were the vendors. The vendor community needs somebody who can be trusted to pay their bills first and foremost, but then bring their message, bring their technology into the market in the best way possible, and everywhere, especially now where even the largest player are developing so many new technologies, they need to recruit and train new partners. And we are doing a good job there because we know everybody, we speak their language, and we really are in the market every moment. And we are there also because we offer a very broad range of clients. So we are always in touch, even if just for a mouse, but it's an opportunity to know the customer.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a good story. So switching gears a little bit, one of the things that you have helped GTDC with was a couple of years ago, you pushed us pretty hard to develop a sustainability initiative. Mm-hmm. And you know, since then, you know, you've been very involved. You're on our steering committee for the work that we're doing. And it is really taking off, as you know. You know, when we first started, the idea was, let's make sure all of the distributors in the GTDC ecosystem kind of collaborated and knew what we were doing, right? And we had the ability to do that as part of GTDC. But now what's happened is the vendor community has jumped in, and we've gotten Dell, and we've gotten Lenovo, and we've gotten HP, and we've gotten Asus, and we've gotten a number of the vendors are now very interested. And in addition, we get some third-party groups that are interested. There's testing groups in place. There's, as you know, Context is involved, helping us put the data together. This is a really important topic, and one that I think, you know, tends to get more focus in Europe because of some of the EU regulations than in the rest of the world. But it's coming, and it's coming quickly. What are your thoughts there? Because I know you're very involved in it.
Yeah, well, first, it's a reaction to Brussels. Brussels are the emperors of regulations, like it or not. Yeah. And they're really strong on ESG. So we simply have to comply with their indications. And that was the first thing. The second is all about money. the mutual funds are more and more requiring that the boards of directors get part of the compensation for public companies, and we are one, and vendors are mostly public as well, if they provide the clear ESG metrics. So I think very easily, and I said it many times, all the executives of this industry needed to do something on ESG. Otherwise, they won't get their bonus. It's as simple as that. So, and that is another good reason to work on this. And then, of course, it's good to do so, but it's good not only for the planet, it's good also in terms of creating new ways of differentiating your offering and your products against your competitors. So, and also in light of this, in front of customers, we can, for the first time since many years, add a new side to the story, which is not only specs or price, it's ESG compliance as well. And the more we add non-price related topics into our sales debates with customers, the more we can be effective in bringing home the value that our stakeholders require us to generate. That's why we're very pushy on this opportunity, and because if you don't address it, it's a threat. But if you address it, it's a tremendous opportunity. And for the first time ever, the US are lagging behind Europe simply because Brussels is doing a harsher job than Capitol Hill in regulating this. It's just a matter of this. And that's why.
Yeah, there's no question. You're absolutely right. When I talk to some of the executives in North America that don't have global responsibility, they're not as in tune with what needs to be done and the three factors that that you mentioned. Of course, the folks that have global responsibility certainly feel it a little bit more because they know what's being driven out of Brussels and some of the EU requirements. So yeah, it really is a significant topic for us. As it's one of our number one initiatives. It's really gaining steam. In fact, one of the things that we mentioned at our event in North America, and we'll talk about the European event in a minute, is that we recently hired a former distribution executive, Dominic DeClercq, to help us. Yeah, to help us run the initiative. And he's spending a lot of time. In fact, yesterday he was at a Surpass meeting for the entire day somewhere in Europe. I'm not sure where they held it, but so we're engaged. We're definitely engaged, and I'm getting more and more interest from the vendor community beyond just the endpoint device players, right? Obviously Cisco's announced a major initiative, and of course, many of the other vendors are
involved. Of the enormous amount of energy required by the new data centers that must crunch the data for AI. That's a huge opportunity there to design different products and to sell products with a different proposition, which is not only price. So, yeah, good to know. And I know Dominic, and I think he'll do fine.
Great. So we're kind of coming to the end here. So in closing, one of the things that you've participated in for years has been our summit, the GTDC summit that we've held in EMEA. We're going to have it this year in Amsterdam again. It's in June, and I'll tell you the dates. We all have it on our calendar. It's June 4th and 5th in Amsterdam, and I'm looking forward to it. I know you and your team will also be part of it. Yes. We'll have an economist there, and we'll talk about what's happening in the market. We'll talk about sustainability, obviously, and we'll also have a number of executive panels. I'm sure you'll participate in one or two, but this is an opportunity for sort of the industry to get together, and collaborate, talk about what's going on. I know I didn't really understand the value of it until I started participating years ago. But talk a little bit about your view, because we expect to have, you know, really good attendance this year, both on the vendor side and also on the distributor side.
No, Frank, we're having this conversation online. It's great. We can do wonders. So we sell the devices to do that, but nothing pays as much as sitting face to face and having a conversation. New ideas stem out of direct conversation, new opportunities. And for us, it's a great moment and a very efficient one as well to have a clear vision of what's happening in this industry in a couple of days and to refresh relationships that we already have and build new ones. So for us, really is one of the moments that we mark in our calendar as must go. And we really look forward to be there. And I think not being there is truly losing an opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. Well, good. So I couldn't agree more. I for years have said relationships matter in this industry. It's a big industry, but yet when you really think about it, the groups of people we deal with, being able to get together and talk about common issues and common problems and opportunities face-to-face is really important. So, yeah, well, Alessandro, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, talk to us a little bit. Certainly, you know, we wish you continued success. That's been a great story now and 24 years and counting.
We'll see. Thanks, Frank. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, everybody.